When last we spoke with Christopher Swain, he was about halfway through his swim of the Columbia River, which winds through the Pacific Northwest. It was last December.
I'm in the middle of the river in a snowstorm south of Gifford, Washington, a little north of Hunter's. And today the water's 41 degrees, and even in a wetsuit, I'm shivering after 2 minutes stopping to drink tea.
13 months ago, Christopher Swain plunged into the cool, clear waters at the source of the Columbia River. Later today, he'll be fighting the tide in the rather grungier waters at its mouth. We've spoken to Chris Swain twice during his odyssey, and he joins us now as he gets toward the end. He's with us from Portland, Oregon, and welcome back to Talk of the Nation, Chris.
Thank you, Neil.
The spot you're at now is called the Graveyard of the Pacific. Why is that?
The very end of the river, which I'll probably get to this weekend, is the Columbia River Bar. And so many boats have gone down there and so many lives have been lost that that's actually the term that the locals coined.
Are there a lot of shipwrecks there?
Yeah, there's 200-odd boats that are down there, just where the wind, the waves, the river currents, and the oceans meet in those shallows. It gets pretty treacherous. It's actually home to one of the busiest Coast Guard stations in America there.
If it's the graveyard of the Pacific, surely the waters there are confusing, roiling, difficult.
Yes, but that would be a very familiar state of affairs to me after the swim that I've had this year. So I think, you know, after getting hit in the head with 8-foot storm waves with Douglas fir trees in them and run over by boats and, you know, suffering through 6 ear infections and 2 swollen lymph nodes and, you know, many other things I can't remember, it's probably... Probably going to be a difficult day, that last day, but I think in many ways I'm as ready for it as one could be.
That last day is going to be Monday?
Yeah, there'll only be actually one thing missing.
What would that be?
That would be Neil Conan, who promised to swim a mile or two with me twice now.
I think I may have promised to float a mile or two, but in any case, these are the best laid plans of men. Oft go aglay, I think is the actual quote. But I tried to get out there, but we couldn't make the arrangements and thought it would be a terrific idea. And I apologize for not making it, but one of the questions I would have asked you had I been there is how different is the quality of the water itself? You were up at the spring-like origins of this river. Now you're down through one of America's major cities.
Yeah, and by the time we get to Portland, of course, you've got everything in the water from arsenic to zinc. You know, I'm swimming through sewage, nuclear waste, pesticides, diesel fuel. If I look down through my goggles as I'm sort of standing up in the water, so to speak, I can't even see my knees.
You're wearing goggles, as you just mentioned. Are you wearing nose plugs and a filter on your mouth as well?
Well, you know, that'd probably be a smarter idea, but then I'm not sure I'm the brightest guy ever did something like this. I'm wearing a wetsuit, goggles, earplugs, and a cap, and then I just count on a good rinse to get me part of the way to healthy again when I get out.
You mentioned a rinse. I mean, the water must taste pretty bad.
Yeah, I taste all sorts of stuff. You know, I can taste the fuels, and I can taste metals. I can taste sewage and mud. All sorts of things depending on what's coming in at the nearest tributary and whether it's rained or all this. Hmm. But it's funny, you know, when I started swimming, it was, of course, the Swim for Clean Waters environmental thing. And what it's turned into is really a human story. It turns out all these issues really do reduce to human terms. So as I swim through Portland, you know, I think some about the contaminants, but I also think my daughter ought to be able to play in the mud here at Kelly Point, and it's too dangerous. You know, other kids ought to be able to swim here. It's pretty nice on that beach over there. Except all the family doctors say don't get the water on your skin. So it's turning more of a human thing as I've gone on, and that's actually not where I thought I'd end up when I started out.
To some degree, though, it has to be, you don't want to get too spiritual or New Agey about this, but the river itself must be a living character to you at this point.
Yeah, it is. You know, I'd have to say honestly that I feel toward the river now something like I'd feel toward a sibling, some sense of filial love, and somebody asking you at the beginning, well, what do you think? You know, is the river alive? And now I'd have to say yes. The river's animated by spirit. I couldn't say much more than that, but that's definitely what I feel now. And I was trying to talk about it actually with my mom a little bit, trying to explain, you know, there's so much gunk in the water now, it's hard to even get a sense of river. And she had a good idea. She said, maybe you're looking for the water in the water. And sometimes I think that's what I'm doing.
Well, Christopher Swain, good luck finishing the swim. We're sure you're going to make it now, as long as I'm not going to be in your way.
Yeah, and, you know, my hope's that it's not just the Columbia River that this helps in the end, Neil, too. If you were there the last day, I'd tell you it's not just about the Columbia River. I think our waterways are starting to reflect who we are as a people and the choices we've made. And my hope is we're the kind of people who can not just clean them up, but become happier citizens in the process.
You can hear more about Christopher Swain's swim and the life of the Columbia River tomorrow on NPR's Morning Edition. And great good luck.
All right, I'll get track you down for my next swim, Neil. You're not off the hook.
All right. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.